Welcome to On the Mic Podcast. This is your host, Tim Drake. On today's episode, I have Joshua Gillespie of Muppet History. If you are a big fan of the Muppets like I am, I'm sure you already follow Muppet History on every social media platform you can follow. It's one of my favorite pages. It brings everybody so much joy. And I've wanted to have Joshua on the show for a while. I actually reached out to him a few years back and invited him to be a guest at San Diego Comic-Con. And turned out, well, I thought Joshua lived here in Los Angeles. He was clear across the country in North Carolina. So he was not able, of course, to make it out with kind of the short notice that we were giving him. So I've been wanting to have him on the show since that first initial offer. And I was so excited that we were finally able to make that happen. It was great just kind of geeking out about the Muppets for an hour and talking about the importance of the Muppets, how they managed to connect all of us, and the joy that Joshua was able to bring by creating this page and how that kind of all came about. He grew up in just a small area in North Carolina and was just that kind of goofy kid in school that loved the Muppets, and that was the main thing he connected to. We also randomly connected over an old episode of Bobby's World, which I loved growing up. But yeah, it was so much fun talking to Joshua. One thing I've always noticed is how he handles criticism and when people are incredibly negative. Of course, being online, you know, you've got to be subject to you're going to be subject to all of that negativity and the toxicity of the internet. And, you know, people throw it at Joshua, even though he's just putting out good, sweet, heartfelt, nice things about Muppets and the Jim Henson Company. And so I talked to him a little bit about how he handles that and how he stays positive, how he's able to just have fun with it. Joshua also recently got married a couple years ago, and it's just so much fun hearing about how he and his wife came together with the Muppets. So she wasn't initially a big Muppet fan, and she quickly learned the way of the puppet. It was so much fun just finding all about Joshua. If you're not already following him, again, it's just Muppet History that you can follow him at. And yeah, it's just a lot of fun. He always has a lot of really cool behind-the-scenes stuff of how Muppet movies have come together, the Muppet Show itself, everything from Fraggle Rock, dinosaurs. If it was the Jim Henson Company, Joshua is sharing it. So make sure to go give him a follow. Josh was actually even getting ready to head out on vacation and was kind enough to take the time to join me on the show. Stay tuned for next week's episode with director Dana Reed. I am so incredibly excited to have her on the podcast. I kind of connected with Dana back in 2023 through the Sundance Film Festival. She had a movie out called Run, Rabbit, Run that she had directed. I absolutely loved the movie. It was a great horror thriller that starred Sarah Snook, of course, that we all know from Succession. And yeah, I just kind of became hooked on that movie and wanted to know so much more about Dana and her career. But many of you may know her from some of the other things that she's directed as well, such as Shining Girls with Elizabeth Moss, The Young Rock, Hellstrom, Space Force, of course, some of the episodes of The Handmaid's Tale. So she has such an incredible career. I was so excited to find out more about that. So stay tuned for that next week with Dana Reed. Again, thank you to Joshua Gillespie for taking the time to join me on the show. And again, just geek out everything Muppets for the entire hour of this episode. It was so much fun. I ended this episode smiling. My face actually hurt. So even just talking Muppets with Joshua, his Instagram, all of his pages bring everybody so much joy. And just talking to him brought me so much joy. He's just a good guy and very fun to talk to. So please go follow him on all of his sites. We'll have all of those links available at onthemicpodcast.com that you can just click and follow from there. Thank you so much, Joshua. And stay tuned next week for Dana Reed. Hope you guys enjoy this episode. We'll see you next week. Dr. Teeth shirt there.
That is it's annoying that the only time Disney ever releases actual good quality Muppet merch is either at Disney World or they make it like exclusive to D23 members.
Yeah, and even as a D23 member, I miss it every single time.
I saw it and I was like, reminder.
Yeah, I've got one of my age-old Muppet Show ones. Yeah. Today. So but I'm so excited to finally have you on. So I know I originally connected with you. I was looking at the date almost 2 years ago. It's crazy that it has been 2 years to try to see if you wanted to come on our show that we do at San Diego Comic-Con. Because I thought you were local here to Los Angeles and didn't realize you were clear on the other side of the country.
Yeah.
So did you grow up in North Carolina then?
I did. I've lived here my whole life.
So now I mean, North Carolina, a lot quieter, you know, entertainment wise. I mean, you guys still have
TV shows and movies that actually come through there. But when it came to, discovering Muppets, did you have a kind of a big Muppet community growing up of friends and family?
Nope.
Just you?
I had two older brothers who grew up on the same VHS tapes that I did.
So it was, I grew up in Utah before moving to Los Angeles, and even then, now I feel like there's a decent Muppet community out there, and like a lot of fans of Jim Henson. The Salt Lake City may as well be the second Disneyland with how many Disney fans are out there. And
All
so
right, yeah.
big Muppet base, but for the longest time growing up, I don't think a lot of my friends thought I was really weird with how much I just loved the Muppets. And even
Yeah.
Muppet Babies, I would quote the Muppet Babies in the middle of high school, and people would be like, "What the hell are you talking about?"
Right. No, I was that kid. I was in theater class, so I would be like, oh my gosh, this reminds me of the thing that Candace Bergen or Rita Moreno did. And the kids would be like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, it's once it's embedded, it's felt teeth in you. It
This.
you're hooked for life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It is weird how much I'll go back and I'll watch something and I'll be like, I have quote said that quote more times than I can count, and I did not even for a moment realize, oh yeah, that's where that's from.
Yeah, the one quote that always goes through my head inadvertently is if anybody ever says we'll catch them red-handed or anything like that, it always in my head, whether I say it out loud or not, goes, "What color are their hands now?" Every
Yeah.
time from the Great Muppet Caper.
And speaking of Great Muppet Caper, every time I go to a fancy restaurant, whether it's with my wife or with friends or whatever, I always, man, a place fancy like place like this, you'd think they'd have pretzels on the table. Nobody gets it. Nobody understands what it means.
It's funny because there is such a huge love for Muppets, but some of those things just don't stick with people. I know I'm fortunate to work on the Warner Brothers lot, and Chuck Lorre has multiple shows there at all times, it seems like. And people, when they do see him around, they're like, "Man, that guy created the Big Bang Theory," or created Mike and Molly, and they're always excited about all these. I'm like, that man wrote on the Muppet Babies. Like,
Yeah.
forget all these things. He started with the Muppet Babies, and that's the thing I always geek out whenever I see him around the lot, because yeah, I love all of his other shows, but yeah, it was the
Yeah.
Muppet Babies that started it all. That to me is the
Yeah.
crazy thing.
Or like Howie Mandel, everyone's like, oh yeah, Deal or No Deal. Meanwhile, I'm like, hell yeah, Bobby's World.
Exactly. Yeah,
Oh,
Bob.
and Muppet Babies too. Yeah.
I've joked about how nobody ever knows Bobby's World, because one of my favorite jokes as a kid was when Bobby, you might remember the episode, Bobby's taking swimming lessons and
Yes,
in the pool.
and he drowns in the
Yeah.
pool.
And at the very end, Uncle Ted's in the pool with him, and he's finally learned he can put his face down and breathe in water, and he pulls his head up, and Uncle Ted's sitting there, and there's bubbles coming up behind him, and he just goes, "Uncle Ted, how do you make bubbles without putting your face in the water?" And he just goes, "Well, that'll just be yours and my little secret, Bobbo." It's always been one of my favorite jokes. I love that you make a Bobby's World reference.
Oh,
That
yeah.
gives so much joy.
Yep, that was one of those that we had a few episodes on VHS, and I just watched those same like three episodes on
Yeah.
loop.
That's when I need to go on Amazon and see if they've ever put the full series on DVD or Blu-ray. I'm sure they have. So
Yeah,
I definitely need to add that to my collection for sure.
definitely.
So, well, before we get too far into just geeking out on Muppets, because I know you and I could go all day just going crazy on Muppets.
Yeah.
So I am very intrigued with your backstory before all of this kind of came along. Because again, like I said, you're in North Carolina. It's not this big entertainment capital where people are constantly just inundated with all of this. So tell me kind of what it was like growing up in North Carolina and starting to discover the Muppets and how it started to impact your life.
So honestly, I'd have to credit the internet with being what made me really love the Muppets was, once I'd say I was maybe 8 or 9 or even 10 years old when I was able to use the internet freely without any restrictions or anything. And my first thought was Muppets. I want to look up Muppets and see what is there available. And there's these fan sites like Tuff Pigs, Muppet Central, and I just scrolled. That's really just all I did. I just scrolled for days and days, just reading and learning and finding these things out. And the Muppet Central had its own radio station back then, when that was a big deal to have an internet radio. And so I could read all this while listening to songs I had never heard, rediscovering songs that I had only heard on like sing-along tapes, hearing the like original versions of them. It was mind-blowing, and it really opened the door to all this. 'Cause in the time period I grew up in, there wasn't a lot of Muppets happening. Muppets from Space came out, but then during the mid-2000s, it was just very quiet. It was a lot of guest show appearances, like on like daytime TV, and before we had a way to record it, I'd be in school, so I didn't see it. And there just wasn't a lot going on. It was really thanks to these people putting together these fan sites that I was able to, enjoy these characters daily.
It's crazy how, the internet, as much as it can just be a pit of toxicity, that especially in those early days, being able to discover, something like Muppet fan sites. And I mean, I remember going down the old, blogger and Tumblr rabbit holes and finding so many of those. But yeah, it was like guest appearances. You'd see them sometimes pop up on the Oscars to, announce something, but there wasn't a ton. And it was always, I remember when some of my nieces were very little, and th this probably is early 2000s, and trying to explain to them what a Muppet was, and even trying to liken it to Sesame Street, and them just staring at me like, why is my uncle messed up? Like,
No, that's exactly
people
it. Like
talking about.
I remember when I was in fifth grade, I got a Kermit the Frog t-shirt for my birthday, and I wore it proudly that day. And my teacher goes, "Oh, I love Kermit the Frog." And the classmates were like, "Kermit the Frog, Muppets, Sesame Street. Why do you watch Sesame Street?" And I'm like, "I don't. I mean, I do, but not like that."
I mean, I still, I mean, even sitting here at my desk, I mean, I literally have the Sesame Street Yip Yips, right? Because these have always, just because something's on Sesame Street doesn't mean that it's, just exclusively for children. So, and I'm
No,
sure even as I say that, people listening will be like, yeah, Tim, it is. But no, it's not. Like, they're Muppets still.
no, it is. And it's still, I think there's a lot to be taken from going back and watching those old things and being like, look at how they were able to convey this educational message in such a unique and fascinating way, or how many layers of different lessons there were. Like, not just, oh, we're not just teaching the number seven with this song. We're also teaching compassion and teaching understanding and patience and things like that.
Yeah, the early days of Sesame Street were so far ahead of their time. I know when I watched the movie Street Gang at Sundance a couple of years ago, and there was a lot that I knew going into that, but there was also so much that kind of took me by surprise of how they developed the show and how they made it that, I mean, there I would say most people, I feel like at this point, know the Muppets initially were not made for kids. But then when they realized that it was a teaching tool and built it in that way, it still to this day is so important that, I feel like, some people have kind of lost the importance because they just look at it as, it's for kids. Maybe I'll show my kid, maybe not.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's why when my friends from school have had children, they're like, "What do I Do you recommend just showing them the new Sesame Street? I'm like, yeah, of course, because the updated episodes are more geared towards a curriculum that their kids are going to be taught. But also show them the old stuff because it's just funny and it's just entertaining. It's just good.
Yeah, and even some of the new stuff, I feel like they've done such a good job to relate it to parents as well. It was like a year ago when Brett Goldstein, who's Roy Kent and Ted Lasso, came on and did the segment of his favorite F words. And I mean, that was so insanely funny. Yeah, it's just teaching kids words that start with F, but every parent is just like, oh no, what is Roy Kent
Oh,
teach my child?
uh-oh. Yeah. And that was the fun of it was, I'll go back and watch episodes or segments from when I was growing up, and I'm seeing like they had like Beyonce on there and things like that. And I'm like, oh my God, I didn't even realize that's who that was because I was just a child. But I bet to my parents, it's like, wow, that's really cool. They got this big name person.
Yeah, I think the Muppets introduced us to a lot of very iconic stars before we understood truly who they were. I mean, my dad was a big fan of Charles Grodin, and so when all of a sudden he's popping up in some of those Muppet movies, like that was where I was like, oh, that's that guy my dad likes. Okay,
My
so
dad was like that with Steve Martin.
yeah, and especially with Steve Martin as well. Yeah, it's like that was how I started to relate to these legendary comics before I understood what their whole, career was. I just knew them as, hey, that was that funny guy on the Muppets.
Exactly.
So now with all of this, have you ever had the opportunity to interact with a Muppet at this point, like one of the actual Muppets?
No.
So that
It's
I
plain and
hope
simple.
I hope at some point you do.
I do too,
I did a phone
but
interview with one, and this is back in like some radio days, and it was Pepe the Prawn,
yeah.
and that was the strangest thing in the entire world to be like, I know this is a voice actor, but I'm talking to
Yeah. Oh no, I totally get it.
Pepe.
I've had the chance to talk to a lot of the behind the scenes people, which has been really nice. Not any of the actual Muppets though, but who knows? I honestly, the opportunities around me change every day. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So do you remember what the very first Muppet either TV show or movie was that you saw that really first grabbed you?
I mean, I was being shown those VHS tapes that my brothers had as early as like, I'd say a little over a year and a half years old. Obviously, I don't remember that, but it wasn't ever a I just always tell people I don't know a time where I wasn't watching the Muppets. I've gone back and found old home videos where my mom was just, it was just her and me. It was before I was in school or anything. So why not just break out the video camera? And there's Ernie and Elmo on the TV. And she's like, who is that? And my first word I ever learned to say was Elmo.
Oh,
So
that's
it's just always been embedded in me.
I mean, who would have thought some of your literal Muppet history starts with a Muppet? That
Yeah, it
that's
really does. It's just been a lifelong thing.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, so many kids' first words are, mom or dad, or my first word was dog. And I love so much that yours was Elmo. That
Yeah.
it's just poetic. That's how
It is. It is. And my parents weren't like offended by it. They're like, that's his favorite thing. And of course, that's going to be his word.
Oh, I love that so much. So what was there a movie like where you were being showed these VHSs? Were they just like clips of the Muppet Show, or was there a particular
So it was mostly like Sesame Street, like the compilation tape kind of things they did, where they'd have a story going on, but then they'd show old clips like between, or they did a release it was two VHS tapes of the Muppet Show, where it was literally like an episode of the show. Like it was formatted in the same way, but they didn't have any guest star footage.
Okay.
So it was just like a Muppet Show, just minus whoever was on that time.
So a
And
lot of the skit, the sketches, and the musical numbers.
And that was what I was raised on, was that one. And then we did have a VHS tape where it had the Vincent Price and Alice Cooper episodes. And then they did a lot of sing-along song things. There was one that literally like hits every thing you could imagine for Muppets. Like I've always told people, it's the perfect introductory tape for getting someone to understand the Muppets, because it's literally the Muppet Show, the Muppet Movie, Fraggle Rock, Emmett Otter. It is everything on there. And then the other one was based around Muppet Treasure Island. So it was not necessarily a sing-along of the songs from the movie. There was one or two songs from the movie, but it was just in that piratey theme.
Yeah. So that's a lot. It's a lot of fun to be able to have such an eclectic mix of them. I know years ago when my wife and I had first started dating, and her family was getting to know me, and the first few things they knew was that I loved monkeys, penguins, and the Muppets, and they were just like, "Who is the Muppets?" Are like, 'cause they didn't quite get the whole Muppet thing at first, and then my wife would be like, buying me gifts or whatnot for like Christmas, and then like she comes across Fraggle Rock and she was like, "What in the world is for Fraggle Rock?" And I was like, "You bought me season one, so now you're about to find out." And some of that was, her foray and just all those others, other than just like seeing like your Kermit and your Miss Piggy and that. So it's fun to I feel like we were very fortunate to kind of grow up with such a mix of all the different Muppets.
Similar case for me when I started dating my wife. I told her I love the Muppets. That was one of the first things she found out. And she was like, "I like Cookie Monster." And I was like, "There you go. That's a Muppet. There you go. You're in."
It's fun. I mean, how does your wife deal with all of it now? Is she just a diehard fan now?
She loves it.
Awesome.
She adores it. She went out of her way to buy art prints from a fan artist, like on her own. It wasn't a, "Oh, I like them, she'll buy them for me." No, she was like, "This is beautiful. I want this for myself."
Yeah, it was out here we have the at the Henson lot, they'll do the show called Puppet Up a couple times a year. And before I even started seeing it was my wife sending me like, "We need to go to this. We have to go to this." And it was like, "Oh, okay." Like I wasn't expecting that she was going to be the one being like, "There are Muppets that are profane at the Henson lot. We have to go." Like, so it was fun that she finally had really started to latch onto it. And now, yeah,
And
she's become a
it's proof that it still works. That's the thing. I talk about it not frequently, but occasionally, this idea that Disney seems to have that they just don't work anymore. I have seen very contrary how many people just who are in their 20s, still can find a love and obsess over it. It's not something that's like, "Oh, this is this old thing that, just doesn't, it's not really relevant anymore." No, it still is.
Yeah, it was like even with Muppets Mayhem coming out last year, I mean, it even though it sadly got canceled, I don't think there was anybody I talked to during that time that wasn't like, "This show is so great." Like everybody loved Muppets Mayhem, and it was made for definitely an older audience where it's very much the E True Hollywood Story to a degree of bringing the Electric Mayhem back and getting that album. But it definitely showed that, there is still an audience for the Muppets, all these years later.
And it's not even that difficult. That's something I've always said. If Disney wants to make it this big, spectacle every time, when really just make some skits, make some song, some musical covers, and just put them on YouTube, and people will eat them up, because that's what is the that's what people like right now.
Yeah, the short form sketches or reels, or yeah, that's what people, I mean, social media has gotten people's attention span so much to that it has to be just that couple minutes, that yeah, if there were more and more Muppet things available in that short form, it would definitely continue to grab a younger audience and create a bigger and bigger demand for the Muppets.
Yeah. I don't get it. I don't know why they don't seem to catch that, but I think there are starting to get the right people in there who aren't just legacy people who are, who grew up with them, not grew up making them, who can create new stuff with them. I mean, like you said, the Muppets Mayhem, the people behind that, I fully am behind them doing more stuff with them. They understood it.
Yeah, I mean, having Adam F. Goldberg behind that, I think, was a huge part of that. So,
When
I
I
mean,
saw that, I was like, that makes sense.
yeah,
That makes sense.
anything 80s-esque being brought to current day, if Adam F. Goldberg is behind it, like the true heart and soul is going to be in it, because
Yep.
if you learned anything from watching the Goldbergs, I mean, that just was his life, was making
Right.
own shorts and stuff with that.
Speaking of the Goldbergs, I was so confused why they didn't pair up the Goldbergs with the 2015 Muppets show. That would have been the perfect back to back, but they didn't. I was like, watch the show about the 80s and then watch the Muppets. That's
So that 2015 show too was so funny, and one that just didn't get the love it deserved. And I will never
Yeah.
forget when that protest group, A Million Moms That Doesn't Have a Million Members,
Yeah.
started their protest against it. And I was literally that week I was on a panel about the Muppets. I think it was at Salt Lake Comic Con. And it was kind of the hot topic of conversation. It was just so funny to think that anybody could be mad about something the Muppets were doing, but
Yeah.
we'll find a way.
People are always shocked that the Muppets aren't necessarily for children, or they do something that's a little risque, and it's like, no, these are children's characters. I'm like, ooh, when were they? No, they aren't.
Yeah, just because they may have taught you to count doesn't mean that that's what they that's what
No.
they're doing. Yeah, it was
It's
funny.
a
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
like that's another thing, is trying to the they can't seem to figure out what demographic they want.
Yeah, and that definitely is something that there's different tiers of what the Muppets can reach. And yeah, I think, like you said, they are starting to get more of the right people in there that fully understand it. And yeah, it's like you have the Sesame Street tier, and then you have, the safer tier when we do, the Muppets Haunted Mansion and things like that. Really is does relate for everybody. And then you get to some of those more primetime shows, but yeah, they can be a little bit more risque in the things that they say.
Yeah.
So, and that's how people need to accept it, is what time are we watching the Muppets? Is this the
Exactly,
daytime children's
exactly.
programming, or is it time where, the Muppets, can be a little bit more, risky?
Yeah. And I don't think there's any issue with, people have always been like, the Muppets shouldn't swear. And I'm like, there are certain Muppets who I don't think should swear, but I don't think them as a whole shouldn't swear. I think there are Muppets who, you know what, say whatever you want. I think, especially Rolf. I think Rolf is the one Muppet that I'm like, you know what? He's been around this whole time. He's an old soul. He can say what he wants to say.
I mean, you can just imagine Rolf playing the piano at some bar, and the 100th person coming up and dropping something in, like, the jar as a tip, and asking to play Piano Man for the 100th time or something, and just having Rolf just be like, "Oh, fuck," just like.
Yeah, exactly. Like, one of my favorite moments from the 2015 show is where he's like, I hate these new age groups. They sticky outside with all these squirrels who don't mind their own damn business.
Yeah, I mean he's just very much becoming the grumpy old man, and it's great. It's perfect for him.
It's very fitting for him.
Yeah. I mean, others that I would probably love to see get that frazzled that I think would be so funny would be Gonzo or Fozzie having a joke
Yeah.
or something not go well. And just one of them cursing, I think would be so hilarious. And it would take the audience by such surprise, but I think everybody would be so tickled to see either of
And
them.
see, like, at the same time, I couldn't see Kermit say something so harsh. You know, him get a, what the hell was that out there? That's like, yep, that's his limit. That's as far as we'll
That's
let the
Kermit's
frog
limit.
go. That's Kermit's little limit right there.
Yeah, and Statler and Waldorf, they feel too obvious that they would like that. So
Exactly.
yeah, it has to be somewhere out of a little bit.
Dr. Teeth, I could see as well.
Yeah, Dr. Teeth, you could totally see do that. So or even Janice, just is like she's so chill that it doesn't even matter. Yeah, there's so many of them in there
And
that.
see, that's the thing. We talk about these characters like they're real people.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so, you know, that's why it's so good. You know, it's, you know, you don't, you're not sitting around thinking, well, what if they made, I can't even think of a cartoon character right now, say so. And then there's just a difference. There's such a difference.
Yeah, I think if I was to sit down across the table from Kermit, even though I'd be able to see a puppeteer right there, at no point would it ever cross my mind that I am that Kermit's real. Like this is,
Yeah.
and I've had friends that have been in those situations, and they're like, when you're with the Muppets, it is they're completely real.
Yeah, there's time to talk to the person down there, and there's time to talk to, I don't know, you've probably seen it. There's a great clip of Kermit where Jim is just performing him. He's just right next to him, and he's like, the truth of the matter is nobody cares what the bearded man is doing.
Yeah. Yeah, I have seen that clip, but it's so magical because even as you're watching it, like you know that it's Jim doing the voice. You're used to seeing it, and yeah, it's just like, yeah, can we just focus on the frog, please? Like that's
Exactly. And that's, you know, I've had people ask me, how did they hide the puppeteer on Sesame Street when they were doing the characters with the little kids? And I'm like, they didn't. The kids just didn't care.
So as I mentioned Puppet Up earlier, when my wife and I did go, it's such a unique way to watch it because you have them on the stage in front of you, but actually watching screens on the side. So because they're still doing it just like they would Sesame Street or anything else, where they're doing it above their head at the camera line. And so even though you are watching these people do it and they're calling up which puppeteer is going to come up and act it out, you're still just so engrossed with, okay, the puppet's what I'm watching.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's such a unique way that they figured out how to even make the show that I think that's why, even though we can see the person making the puppet move, that it doesn't at any point ever register with us like this is not real because we've just been so trained to seeing it one particular
Exactly.
way.
And like even things like you see the arm rods on a sh on the Muppet Show, or you see, oops, there's Jim's head for a split second. It's like that doesn't ruin the magic. If anything, it's like, wow, this is magic that
Yeah.
they're doing. This is a great illusion.
Yeah. Even at home, like I mean, I've got one of my little Muppets here that is actually signed by Brian Henson. So, but having this sitting at my desk all the time, it is weird where I'm just like it feels completely normal that this is just a real just hot dog guy that just sits here and hangs out with me. Even though, yeah, he's a puppet on a stick. But yeah, it's so weird to look at them and not think of it as just, yeah, a piece of felt.
No, they are. They're real because they put so much of themselves into these characters. I don't remember where I heard it, but Jim said it's taking your fa like your everything about you and shoving it into your hand.
I like that. I've never heard that quote. I like that a lot. So now I know, like, long before you started Muppet History, you had started your YouTube page where you're doing your JG reviews, and you had
Oh
Sid and
no.
Wallace. And
Yeah.
watching some of your early clips of Sid and Wallace, you react to them so wonderfully that it doesn't feel like, they're a puppet. Like,
No.
you fit into that world
That
so
was
well.
fun. That was a lot of fun. I didn't have any friends who had a schedule that could meet mine, so I was like, well, what if I use puppets on a green screen and just put them next to me?
But
So that
you
was,
did such a great job of it.
well, thank you. I really did enjoy those times. That was a lot of fun.
No, it really goes back to the, and I've said this for episodes. So many people I talk to, when you're trying to find your way into creating something, you just have to go with what you have and
Yeah.
what you can make. And I mean, one of my favorite books is the Duplass Brothers book. Where they talk a lot about, finding what you have to make what you can make, and how their first movie that went to Sundance cost them $3 because that was all they could afford, and that's just what they had. And so for you to
Yeah.
be like, yeah, I didn't have friends whose schedule met up with us, so I'm just got a green screen and I'm gonna make them up. It's like that's just such an innovative way to be able to just make what you want to make.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, and it's sometimes people get in their head too with that, where they're like, oh, it's not perfect. It's like, it doesn't have to be perfect. Just make the thing and have fun with it at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
So how soon after you started doing that, I noticed on one of your pages you mentioned, on the guy behind Muppet History and other history pages. So it made me very
Yeah.
curious, like, what other history pages is Joshua running here?
So I, at one point, I don't really keep up with them that much these days just because it's so, it's tough to hold three pages. I had one on Disney as well that I realized quickly, oh, everyone doing this. I'm not really adding much to the conversation. And then I did one on Homestar Runner. An old,
Oh.
the old Flash cartoon. That was one of my big influences growing up. And when you watch Homestar, my wife has said, she's like, yeah, I can see this in the Muppets, kind of. Yeah, it makes sense.
It very much makes sense, especially, seeing some of your very early videos from like a decade ago, it very much makes sense of that. Homestar Runner, I feel like, was too short-lived for
Oh yeah.
how brilliant so much of that was.
Oh, it was genius, and it's still exciting when they do something new. It's like, yes, bring it back. Just, I get that they now have like professional jobs. They are in the industry, and that's kind of the that I can't help but be so proud of them. But then at the same time, it's like, but I kind of miss Strong Bad. I'd like to see him show up again.
We demand more.
No, but I enjoyed doing that, but then it really just kind of fell into this whole, okay, what day is it? What came out this day? Okay, there's my post. It wasn't, that was what I quickly realized with Muppet History. I didn't want to do. I didn't want to just, okay, it's April 24th. What came out this day? Here's information. That's it. I wanted to just explore more of, history is more than just on this day. It's, every little piece of it. So that's, it was really what really started this outlandish boom was I shared the clip from the Jim Fraley the tests they did for the Muppet movie, where they wanted, were trying to see what the puppets would look like in the real world, not on a set. And I shared a clip from it, And oh, who was it? One of the big directors in Hollywood shared it, and then suddenly just everything blew up, and I was like, okay, this is what works.
Yeah, you have done such a great job curating it that it where it isn't just, on this day this happened. Like there's so many things that I learn continually from Muppet history. And I think that's why you have, major stars and major directors and stuff that follow your page. And it's because every one of them is even learning something from it. I mean, the amount of times I've seen Mark Hamill
Mark Hamill.
randomly
Mark
retweet
Hamill.
you. And I'm like, Luke Skywalker just retweeted Muppet History. Like,
No, that is still the most surreal thing. Or Linda Carter. She sent us like a big congratulations for our wedding. And it was like, what? And of course, my wife is like, who? And I'm like, Wonder Woman. And so I show her the episode. And then I'm like, that's who sent us the wedding. That's who sent us the wedding.
that's amazing that you've managed to create something that just connects and unites so many people, and that's what I think is so incredible about what you've done, and why too, when I was looking to book guests, that I immediately thought of you for that San Diego show, even as I was just like, this is a page that connects everybody. And as I kind of started following even your personal page and learning, just like seeing the little things about you and you getting married, going through, your heart procedures and stuff, and realizing that, you, despite anything that you've had to go through in your personal life, you still make time to not just watch the Muppets that bring you joy, but share the Muppets to bring joy to everybody.
That's well, first of all, thank you so much. I really appreciate all that. But, and that's kind of been my goal with Muppet History, is these characters have brought me so much joy my whole life. And it's like, I want to show what brought me joy, share that with everyone else, because I feel like that's the whole point of it. If something brings you happiness, you should share it with everyone else. You shouldn't keep it to yourself and be like, no, this is only I can be happy about this. You know, when you can be, when I can say, show something and have people being like, I remember seeing this with my mom. I remember watching this with my sister. Those moments are so special to me because it shows me that this is this, it's kind of like saying I'm not alone. It's like, wow, look at every different kind of experience that can come from this, you know, one singular episode or special or something. And then you have all these people sharing, oh, my dad got me this. I've had people send me like plushes from the 70s, and they're like, my dad bought this for me, and I have to, and now I'm moving across the country and I don't have space for it. I want you to have it.
That's incredible.
It's mind-blowing. It's like wow.
Yeah, with the
It's one of
father.
the greatest it's the greatest opportunity I've ever had. And my mom, when I told her that I was able to, do this without, having to worry about having a strict 9-to-5 job as well. She was like, that makes sense. I knew you were going to work with the Muppets somehow. I knew that. No surprise to me.
It's nice to have that parental faith that they're like,
Oh, yeah, exactly. I was
anything.
like, why didn't you tell me this 10 years ago? I would have
I
started this a long time ago.
felt the same way. My parents always very much were pushing me to have a real job. Like, I am the black sheep of the family. I mean, I've got one brother's a doctor, one's a dentist. My sister had a degree in, I think, public health as well. And then I was the one that was like, I'm gonna tell jokes and I'm gonna do comedy. I'm gonna do the whole entertainment thing. And they're always like, really? That's that? But there's real jobs. I'm like, yeah. Other people can have those. Like,
Exactly, that's what other people are for.
yeah, like some of us have to be slightly crazy and and go on this wild path. So now with the follower base that you have grown, I mean, you've got, I had to look it up because I mean, I follow all of your pages and I always just see the numbers growing. I mean, over 500,000 followers between Twitter and Instagram and TikTok. I mean, does that ever really set in when you're curating all of this that, you've got, these big stars, but let alone people all over the world that are like, this is, you're creating that little bit of joy for them.
It is surreal because there have been multiple instances where we have just been out in public and people are like, you're the Muppet History people, and we're like, yeah, oh my God. And then we had a person come up to us at a convention earlier this year, and I don't want to throw them up, like embarrass them, but they broke down in tears in front of us, and we were in line for like something, and they came up to us and like, you know what, everything you've done. And it was so heartwarming and so sweet. And then they walked away, and all the people in line around us went, what the hell was that? And I'm just like, I don't know.
Like, I like the Muppets.
It is one of those things where it is, I'm still getting used to it
Yeah.
because it's very different.
Where you've been a part of the world and doing this for a little bit for longer than your wife has been a part of it, how does she react to those moments?
Oh, she thinks it's incredible. She's always blown away when people are like, "Oh, you're Holly. You're the wife. You're the." She's like, "Yeah, I am. I don't host anything. I don't do any. How do you know me?"
See, at least people get joy when they see you. Most of the time at conventions, they see my name on something and they think it's something about Batman, and then they show up and they're like, oh, it's just some jackass making wisecracks on a stage. Never mind. So I you bring joy. I elicit disappointment when I'm not Robin. So
No, but I did know. I did. Yeah, that's true. You are Tim. Speaking of Batman, I got to talk to Paul Williams. I got to interview him.
Oh,
And it wasn't until like an hour and a half into our conversation that I went, you're the Penguin. And he went into the character and started doing
oh.
it. And it was so cool.
Does that throw you off when you talk to some of those voice actors and then they just do it for you? It always
Oh
takes
yeah,
a surprise.
it's like, whoa, that's you. Like I met oh gosh, now his name escapes me, but he plays a Cortex in the new Crash Bandicoot games, and he went into it and I was like, this is so cool.
Every time I see Eric Bauza and he just randomly is Bugs Bunny or Daffy
Oh
or
yeah.
Martian, I'm always just like, you're breaking my brain right now. Like, this is so yeah,
Yep.
it's such a unique world to live in, to get to be a part of so many of these things. And I mean, I love watching you continually grow with this. One part though that has both shocked me but impressed me at the same time is, I mean, where you essentially have to live in the world of the internet all the time. And the internet's just a crazy, everybody thinks that they have to say things even when they shouldn't. But if you've got a page where you're just making people happy, you do have to deal with the hecklers and the people that are just cruel. And I've always been surprised at one, just the way you kind of handle it with grace a lot of the time, even if you are just kind of like, yeah, fuck off. Like, you still handle it with so much grace. How do you approach when those things do happen?
Usually I try to figure out what the reason is. That's usually my first instinct is to be like, did I do something wrong? Is there something I specifically have done to cause this? If it's not like just a simple like fuck off kind of thing, comment to me. If it's something that feels very loaded, like if someone's going on like multiple posts of mine and commenting like you suck. This is dumb. This is I it feel it when it goes from just being a one-off thing to feeling kind of personal, that's when I'm like, hey, did I do something? And oftentimes it will just be, hey, I'm just in a bad mood. Hey, I'm sorry. I just something, something. And usually we can get it figured out. There was a weird case where someone was constantly telling me to shut the fuck up and telling me to fuck off. And I asked them what was wrong. And he was like, oh, I just wanted your attention.
Jesus.
And I'm like, that's not the way you get that. I mean, you get it, you got it, obviously, but I'm not in this. And he was like, I want to be your friend. And I was like, that's not the way to make me your friend.
Yeah, I can't think of anybody that I'm friends with that started off by telling me to fuck off. That's a
Yeah, no, that's a unique strategy, but I don't think it's an effective one.
I'm gonna try that at work from now on. See.
Exactly. Yeah, see how well that goes.
Yeah, like it's I always love though when you have, and I've seen you post some of these interactions though, and you put such a positive spin on it a lot of the time, where you're just like, you know, there's no reason to do this, like just treat people with kindness. I mean, even when you are being personally attacked by people, you live that Muppet way of just kindness and joy. And Toby Morse, who's the lead singer of the band H2O, he's a big proponent of positive mental attitude. And he had pointed out forever ago that just because you tell somebody to fuck off doesn't mean you're not having a positive mental attitude, because sometimes that's what you need to do to just move ahead.
And sometimes though someone will say something that is completely out of pocket, usually a DM. They don't ever say it to where everyone else can see it. They always have to message it to me, And I, instead of being like, wow, block immediately, I'm like, hey, just so you know, this isn't cool. This isn't something you say to people. And then they usually get offended, and then they try and call me out for something, and then they apologize. I try to end if there's a negative interaction, I try my best to make it work its way back around to both of us just being like, hey, whatever, sorry.
Yeah, so sometimes people feel like that wall of the internet, not having to see somebody face to face, they're able to kind of, yeah, they can hide behind that in a way where, you know, that you're just, you know, the what's the word I'm looking for? The little avatar. So you're just a little avatar. That's all that you are, instead of thinking, hey, there's a person behind this page. Yeah, you never know what people are going through. And like you said, a lot of the times when you reach out to them, it's like, oh, sorry, I was having a bad day, or oh, I just wanted to get your attention, and no matter how weird of a way it was to get your attention. Like, yeah, you just don't know what people are going through. And yeah, I've admired the way that you've handled those situations.
Well, I appreciate that. I don't know if you've probably seen it. I post it all the time because I just love it. Someone wrote a very scathing, weirdly worded review of one of Jim Henson's. It was a non-Muppet TV special he did, and it was just like, anyone who enjoys this drivel has the mentality of da, 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 like using big words to sound big kind of thing. And Jim Henson wrote a letter to him, and he was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Yours truly, Jim Henson. And it's kind of that mentality that, I'm confused, but I'm not, I'm still going to be nice to you about. I'm still going to be nice because if you just, oftentimes even these people just want to get a rouse out of you. They want to get mad. They want to see what happens when they poke the bear. And when you give them a, well, you can fuck off. Goodbye. It's not giving them what they want. They want someone to scream at them so they can sit there and I did it.
Yeah, it makes you laugh. Some of the, with the movie that I produced that was released last year, when we started seeing reviews come in on like IMDb and stuff, there was some where it's like we didn't go out of our way to be like, hey, keep in mind we made this feature film for 62 grand, and yeah, we did with it what we could. And like I said, you make the thing and it opens doors to the next thing, like, because we're in pre-production on our next movie right now. Like, it just because we didn't make a perfect thing, like, we know what we made, but we had to laugh when we'd see some of the reviews come in. And I mean, still one of my favorites is somebody comments and left a review, and they're like, I mean, parts of this look like they were shot on a cell phone or like a camcorder. It's like, you mean the parts that are supposed to be shot on a cell
I was
phone
gonna say which one?
on a camcorder?
Because saying, and that's the thing, saying shot on a cell phone isn't even an insult at this, shouldn't be an insult at this point, because the quality of things you can, of the pictures and video on these things is ridiculous. Like, I used to shoot my YouTube videos on an actual camera, but then when I started doing like the Muppet history videos, I was just doing that on my phone. I was editing them on my phone. It's incredible what, so that's not even an insult at this
It
point.
wasn't even an insult, but they were literally scenes where it is somebody like doing something on FaceTime. So we're like, yeah, it was. But like overall, the movie was shot on a Blackmagic 12K.
Is
Like,
this a compliment saying, hey, it looks like it was shot on a phone. Good job, you did it.
yeah. So it was funny that they were criticizing certain scenes for looking like they were supposed to look.
Yeah.
They were like, okay.
Because if it the, and the and it, and that kind of comment, that if you had shot it on like on a camera with a like a real high quality camera, then the response would be, hey, this doesn't look realistic.
Yeah. What's funny is the parts for that look like they're on a camcorder were shot on our Blackmagic 12K, and then they were
Yeah.
edited to look like they were on a camcorder. So the guy
Yeah.
criticized it. Yeah, it was very funny to be like, actually, that was shot on a very high quality camera and made to look that way. So thank you. Our editing must be spectacular since you thought it looked.
Right.
Then I
Just
would.
respond to it with thank you. I'm glad to know we were successful.
Yeah, we would just laugh every time we'd see him come in, because we were like, I mean, we took the constructive criticism that came through,
Of
but yeah,
course.
then there was and it's because we were very self-aware again of what we had made. But then every time some of those had come through, we were just like, okay, all right, I'm glad you missed what we did, but okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So now with all the Muppet movies that have been made over time at this point. And I know this is going to be asking like somebody what their favorite kid is, but what is your favorite Muppet movie?
The Muppet Movie,
Just the
the
original.
original, the original. I just love everything about it. Like, yes, I love every Muppet movie, not equally, but to an extent. But the first one, it feels so Jim to me.
Yeah.
It has that Henson spirit to it. And there's just so many great jokes, so many great gags. I love Big Bird coming up and, oh, I'm on my way to New York City to try and break into public television. It's like, as a kid, you're just like, oh, it's Big Bird. As an adult, you're like, oh, right.
Yeah, again, it's that layered comedy so that both the adults and the kids can enjoy it in the theater. Yeah, I mean that one always has been one of my absolute favorites. It's always, to me, it's a tie between that and The Great Muppet Caper.
Oh yeah,
So like
definitely.
those two always sit in there. And like I hold a special spot too now for the Muppet movie, because when Kermit's singing Rainbow Connection, so during that whole swamp scene, every time there is a punched in shot of Kermit, you'll notice the background changes behind him. So, and there's like bamboo and stuff behind him, which in the wide shot, it's a very sparse swamp. So, and they did those insert shots at Warner Brothers inside our lagoon. And so I get to walk through our jungle all the time and see that, and I see it just come to life in those punch-in shots.
Oh
And
yeah.
Oh, it's just like that, like Kermit sat right there. It's like, but no, that every time I look at that bamboo, I'm like, yeah, it's been there for 60 plus years. But Kermit sang in front of it. Like that's all that
Exactly. That's the
Kermit has.
important part.
Yeah, that's
That's the
all
important thing.
that Kermit
See, I thought you were going to go a different direction. I was going to say, every time I see Kermit playing Rainbow Connection, all I can think is Jim is in a water, in a hydraulic tube, essentially 40 feet below,
Yeah.
barely breathing, crunched up like this for the next 3 hours.
Yeah, like he was like to be able to pull off what they pulled off. It's just astounding.
Yeah.
So yeah, and I know you've posted the schematics of that before, and yeah,
It's
it's
ridiculous. That's the thing I've learned a lot while doing this is just a constant stream of, Jim, what were you, wh why? Why did you do that?
Yeah, I actually just barely this morning had ordered. This is not an ad for Hot Topic, but I'm going to mention Hot Topic anyway because they just released earrings and necklaces of
Yeah.
Kermit playing the banjo and everything from.
Yep.
Just came out the other day, and as my hot cash became available today. Yes, that's right. Still in 2024, I still shop from Hot Topic. I'll never
They
grow
have a good amount. They have
out
a
of that.
really good amount. I don't blame you.
They've got some good Muppet stuff.
Look, we're going to Disney next week, and I'm fully expecting not to find more than like two or three Muppet items.
But yeah, like I just ordered my wife all of that stuff from that scene this morning, so that yeah, she'd have that. So yeah, it's something that there's no age I'm ever going to grow out of, having that connection. No pun
Yeah.
intended.
Nope. No, yeah, exactly.
So now, which Muppet, everybody has theirs that they relate to. Which Muppet do you most identify with?
Gonzo.
I
I
can.
was very much the outcast in school, very much the weird one, mostly because of the Muppets, but no, I've just always really enjoyed Gonzo. I've loved that they've continued to use him as a way of, showing this outsider mentality and embracing it, not, And I think that was something they've figured out doing the Muppet Show was instead of making Gonzo this sad, pathetic weirdo, it's like, no, just keep the weirdo part. Just make him half, just don't make him pathetic about it. He's just weird. Just, they like him, but they know he's just the weird one.
Yeah, he's the whatever.
Exactly. Like he goes from eating a tire and then screaming at the audience when they boo him to he's bouncing on a pogo stick and the audience is still confused, but he's having the time of his life.
Didn't I swear I just saw you post something the other day. Didn't you and your wife on your wedding cake have a gonzo?
Gonzo and Camilla, yep.
Yeah.
That's the one she wanted. She was like, they are the non-toxic couple of the Muppets. I want them.
It's such a sweet relationship too, but I love that you had that as your wedding cake topper.
Oh, we got a lot of comments, a lot of, did he make you do this? Did he make you? No, this was my idea. Because I even was like, hey, we can do like Animal Crossing figures or something, something you enjoy, something we both enjoy. And she was like, I enjoy it too. So it was special to get to do that.
It was such a cute thing to be able to come together with that for your guys' wedding cake.
Yep.
So, well, Joshua, I appreciate you taking the time today. It's been
Of
so fun
course.
chatting Muppets and getting to know you more. It was weird to reach out to you too because it's like I feel like I already know him. I followed him for so long, but yet it's only been a couple of little conversations via Twitter. And
Yeah.
well, yeah, it's great to finally chat and learn more about this, and I mean, just geek out about Muppets.
Of course. I mean, that's the most fun thing is to talk about the Muppets. And, there's still so many things that I haven't even. That's the thing. People are like, oh, you're running out of stuff. I'm like, no, let's see, we got 91 episodes of Fraggle Rock, or however many it is. 90, I think it's 96. That's it. 96 episodes. God knows how many Sesame Street episodes. I got this for a while. Don't worry. I'm not running out of things.
We've got over 50 years worth of, over 60 years, really.
It's 60 this year. It's 60.
It's 60 years worth this year. That is just absolutely bonkers. Yeah, you've got plenty of content.
And that's not even talking like merchandise and stuff. You know, I just do video for the most part, like the media stuff. There's so much to work with.
Yeah, like I've said, you've curated such a fun page, such a fun community to follow. Where can everybody follow both Muppet History and you as well?
I mean, if you haven't seen me pop up on your Twitter feed, then I'm then I'm doing something wrong, apparently. But it's History Muppet on Twitter. I wish I had just gone with Muppet History, but I was trying to be cute because I didn't think this was actually going to be a big thing. I thought I was going to get maybe 5 followers and just give me an outlet to talk about them. And then it is Muppet History on Instagram. We are rebuilding our Facebook page because a hacking scheme got a hold of us. So that was fun. So we're rebuilding the fake Muppet History Facebook page slowly. I mean, I'm Joshua Gillespie. You look that up. I tend to pop up there. Either that or some criminal from like 10 years ago. So that's fun.
I mean, that's always fun to
I mean, I'm sure people look up your name and they find you immediately, right?
Oh yeah. Google pages, I mean, at least now I have started to infiltrate the first page.
Yeah,
for the longest time it would be like you'd have to click like 3 pages to be like, there I am, there I am. It took 3 pages of Batman stuff. I love IMDb. For whatever reason, nobody has ever checked who they're linking articles to. And so Deadline, Hollywood Reporter, all these will put out something about DC and it'll get linked to my IMDb. And so all of a sudden, like, I'll get an alert from IMDb that like something is trending. And I'm like, I click on it. I'm like, something DC did is trending. They just tagged the wrong person. I appreciate the free publicity that I get from DC for tagging the wrong person. But yeah, you luckily do pop up. I don't think I've seen the criminal pop up. So that happened to my friend Jesse recently, who used to come on the road with me to record podcasts. His sister had seen something pop up about a guy that shared the same first and last name and had been arrested and all of this. And he was a little offended. He was like, why would you thought I would do something? And it turned out that the guy with the same name was actually wrongfully accused even.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Like,
not only did you think I did this, but if you would have read the article, it explained he was wrongfully accused.
My God.
But yeah, it took a good weekend of his life of people being like, Jesse, what did you do?
Yeah.
Not me, just a guy with the same name.
Yeah. So thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, we'll make sure we have all the links on our website on onthemicpodcast.com so people can, if they're not already following you, they can click there and follow you everywhere. So and the last question, I feel like it's appropriate as the last question is, are you a man or a Muppet?
Changes every day.
I like that there was a moment of actual deep thought there of like Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Joshua. So it's great talking to you.